Okay, today we're with, here with George Murphy, who's written a number of books. And I'd like to just let him tell you about some of his books and some of his views. Here at the ASA meeting in Grantham, Pennsylvania, and Saia College.
Well, my name's George Murphy. My training is in physics before I went into ministry. I'm a Lutheran pastor. I've written several books and a number of articles on science and theology. My first book is called The Trademark of God. It's out of print now, but it's a basically written for adult Christians who don't have particular expertise in science or theology to deal with the issues of evolution and creation and to explain how evolution is understandable within the light of the Christian faith. My most recent book is called The Cosmos in the Light of the Cross, and it's a broader and more in-depth treatment, which I start from the understanding that God is revealed in, first of all, in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then look at evolution and other scientific issues in that light. And I guess one way of saying it is that the fact that God is in a paradoxical way hidden in his revelation in the cross means that we shouldn't expect to see direct evidence. We shouldn't expect to observe scientifically God at work in the natural world. And the idea then that God creates through the evolutionary process is one consequence of that.
Okay, can you give any example of that?
Well, just the very basic fact that the idea of evolution means that we can understand how life has come into being and how life has developed in terms of natural processes without being required to make any reference to God. So God, in that sense, is, as I said, hidden in the evolutionary process. And some Christians, I realize, are upset by that because they want to say, well, you have to be able to talk about God in order to explain how life came into being. And I don't think that that's the case. I don't think God insists upon getting credit for things. God is willing to allow the creatures through which God works, in a sense, to receive the credit for the way in which life develops. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that in talking about this near the end of his life, spoke about how the world could be understood even though God were not given, as he puts it, even though we don't assume the existence of God. Didn't mean that Bonhoeffer didn't believe in God, but that his understanding of God, again, came from God's revelation in the cross of Christ. And when Bonhoeffer says that God lets himself be pushed out of the world onto the cross, he means that that God is willing to be considered unnecessary as far as the understanding of natural processes within the world are concerned.
Yes, for some, evolution is an evil word and an evil process and causes evil in the world, would you say?
Well, I mean, yeah, I know that people have long tried to identify evolution in that way and said, look at the evil influence that evolution has had on Hitler or Stalin or people like this. And sure, it may have in those cases. On the other hand, Well, first of all, there are many people who accept evolution who have not become racists and mass murderers. And secondly, as unfortunately we know through Christian history, that people who are Christians have been able to use texts of the Bible as an excuse for or as support for holy war, racism, slavery, and all kinds of other things. So the fact that some people who accept evolution may have behaved badly is not at all an indication that evolution itself has to have those consequences. I mean, it is a question of how one understands evolution theologically. If you understand evolution as the way in which God has worked in the world, and as a process that God himself in the incarnation has become a participant in, and on the side, in the sense of those who suffer in the evolutionary process and the cross, that's one way of understanding evolution. Another, of course, is the idea of saying evolution is sort of explains everything and there is no need for God. What I'm talking about is the first way in which we understand evolution as part of the work of the God who is revealed in the cross.
Could you explain that? Someone talk about death and suffering. How can that be from a good God?
I don't know in the last analysis if we can sort of prove that it's okay for God to work in that way. You know, St. Paul sort of warns us against that in the 9th chapter of Romans. Who are you to answer back to God when he's faced with that question of that kind of question of why there is evil or why God works in a particular way? I think on the one hand, the fact that there is suffering and death is a consequence of the fact that God has chosen to give the world its own integrity and its own ability to develop in terms of natural processes. The other point is that God, in the incarnation and in the cross, God makes it clear that he is on our side in the evolutionary process. I mean, it doesn't always give us neat solutions to explain why it's all right for God to do this. It says that God is with us in this process and that God has an ultimate goal of good that is to be accomplished through it.
Was there any particular event that led up to your beliefs this way, or were you always believing in evolution?
No, I wasn't. In fact, I grew up in a conservative Lutheran background, and I didn't accept evolution. I was also interested in science. And when I was in college, I came to believe, finally, that there wasn't any real conflict between evolution and Christian faith. It really, though, took a considerable amount of time after that after getting my training in physics and so forth, and beginning seminary work and really beginning to learn about Luther's theology of the cross, it wasn't until then that I began to see really how to make sense theologically of evolution as distinguished from just saying, well, it's okay to accept it. So it wasn't, I'd say as far as my understanding of evolution is concerned, it wasn't really any single kind of dramatic conversion experience or anything of that sort.
Talk about the theology of the cross. Could you explain that a little bit?
Well, God's fundamental revelation is in the cross of Christ. Luther says that true theology and the recognition of God are in the crucified Christ. That's where we begin. In other words, we don't start with some sort of general idea of God that we've learned from nature or something of that sort, and then kind of add on the idea that, oh, the Son of God was crucified and rose again, as a kind of addendum. But we begin with that fundamental event of the incarnation and cross and resurrection as what identifies God for us, as what tells us what kind of God we're dealing with. That has a lot of implications. It has the implication, for one thing, that we don't use our common sense to understand how God works in the world and how God works with us. But we have to begin with what, in one sense, seems a very non-common sense idea of this God who is willing to die for the sake of his creation. As I say, that has a lot of other implications. That was one reason why, for Luther and the other reformers, they argued that God, we really have to take seriously these texts in the Bible that speaks about God justifying the ungodly, which again, to a common sense view of religion, doesn't seem to make any sense. Again, that's one of the things that the theology of the cross speaks about, that God justifies us, that God puts us in the right relationship with us through the cross without our own work.
Okay, is there any other comments
Well, I guess the one thing that I'd want to add is I know there's a lot of controversy about evolution and creation, especially in American society today. And I think that a lot of that controversy could be dealt with better if people would get a more solid grounding both in theology and in science. You sometimes hear complaints about scientific illiteracy in our society. I think theological illiteracy is another serious problem.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your comment.
Thank you for the opportunity.